Today, Pastor Perry and I are going to exercise our rights of free speech and freedom of religion and talk about what is biblical and what biblical values there are, and to consider these in the election, all right? The biblical values, okay? And we can actually just ask you what is a biblical value and what isn't, all right? And if you're reading your Bibles, you'll know. But we're going to, Pastor Perry's going to come up and we're going to take turns. And Pastor, you want to start?
Okay. Yeah, I finally was able to watch that video yesterday afternoon. It was really powerful from a pastor of Skyline Church in San Diego, where John Maxwell used to be the pastor there, and he's a real powerful pastor, but he's part of this group based in Washington, D.C., of trying to get pastors and leaders to speak up for the truth, what the Bible says. And if it has ramifications regarding politics or elections, so be it. And went back to the history of the Revolutionary War, that many of the revolutionary leaders were pastors and who had were ambassadors for Jesus, but also for their country, and were not afraid of going back and forth and instilling biblical values in their church, but also in their country, right? And making sure that this nation that was started with fear of God and godly principles would continue. Well, what's happened, and it was very interesting here about this law that was it
1954, July 2nd.
Okay, where
LBJ,
President Johnson, signed into law because he had a couple businessmen that gave him trouble. He said, from now on, 503C corporations can no longer express their views on certain areas, right?
Right.
And we'd say, well, that's fine. And they weren't targeting churches at that point. But what's happened is now many people are fearful of pastors being able to express concern about things going on in our nation that are not according to the Bible. Does that make sense? Okay? And so there's, 1,500 pastors are saying, and has grown exponentially the last few years, that pastors are concerned about the way our country is going, that could even prevent a revival from happening here. And so that we should take the muzzles off as pastors and be freed up to speak the gospel as John the Baptist did, as Jesus did, Jeremiah did, Isaiah did, on and on, all the prophets, the apostles. Paul certainly spoke boldly with confidence in God. In fact, when the disciples were told to shut up, they said, well, we must obey God rather than men.
Amen.
And not to be lawbreakers, but having said all that, there are issues that are coming up that have an impact on as Christians and as pastors. And one is the definition of a family or marriage. We talked about that a few weeks ago about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And what is the biblical, what does the Bible say about marriage? It says one man and one woman, right? And it reserves sexual relations to a marriage. Well, that's not real popular talk about, is it?
No.
But this is what the Word says, and we promised God in our ordination that we would speak the Word and not what people want to hear. And when the whole counsel of God, and there are some real neat pastors I like, but they only preach a part of the Bible and not the rest of the Bible. We're called to preach all of it. And one is in regards to marriage and family. That God has, it's not a sociological phenomenon of marriage and family. God's the one that started it, the whole thing, right? And it's so scary to see the marriage covenant among younger people today, especially, just kind of cast aside because they see the failures of so many marriages, so many divorces. They say, well, forget marriage. No, God says, don't forget marriage. I started it. I want it to continue. And we know what marriage is, one man and one woman, bringing together in that holiness and its sacredness. God brings two together, and the two become one. And God wants that marriage to be close in body, soul, and spirit, but within the covenant of God's holy estate of matrimony.
I'm going to talk about the next point, but for 166 years, pastors were able to preach what they wanted, okay? What amazes me today is that in a mosque, you can go to some mosque in this country, and the imam can talk about overthrowing the United States, and that's okay, all right? But if a Christian pastor talks about marriage being one man and one woman, we're haters, okay? We got to stand up, all right? Not just on that, on a lot of other issues. The issue I'm going to talk about is abortion, and people believe that we don't call them babies anymore. We call them fetuses. We call them tissue, but they're babies. And most women in here who have had children know that when you're pregnant, there's a baby inside of you. Okay? It's against... What's the Bible say about that? Okay? Do you think God approves of abortions? Do you think that's what God wants? According to God's Word. According to God's Word. I'm not talking about social, what society tells us. What does God's Word say? God called it an abomination when people would offer their children to false gods. And that's what I see abortion as. You're offering your child up to a false god. And the false god would be what our society says this child is. All right? That it's not a child, that it's this tissue or a fetus. All right?
Okay. Another issue, and this kind of surprised me, Pastor Rick, and I never thought of it in this context before, and that is debt, going into heavy debt. And we think of personally, I've seen a lot of people lives ruined just about because of enormous debt, living from the moment, not worrying about paying off debt until later. And there's some wonderful resources with Ramsey, Dave Ramsey, and Crown Ministry Financial to help families and individuals and even churches to be responsible stewards. All that we have is given from God, right?
Amen.
However, and I didn't realize this verse that Pastor Garlow quoted talks about taking from generations in the future and robbing them through our debt. And our debt as a nation can be so unbelievable. I get depressed thinking about that. We are called as a nation to be responsible in our debt so that we aren't laying this burden, an impossible burden, on generations to come, whether it be as a church or as an individual family or as a nation. I never thought of that. So we are called to be good stewards, right? And to voice that to our elected officials, say, look, you're called, and Luther talks about the kingdom of the right and the kingdom of the left. The kingdom of the right is a church giving given authority by God. The kingdom of the left are government officials that Luther talked about being ordained by God in a ministry, if you will, a kingdom of civic righteousness so that the gospel could be proclaimed by the kingdom of the right. Not a separation, but just different functions. And in that, God has called leaders to be responsible to Him, whether they acknowledge Him or not, right? They are called to be responsible leaders and managers of what God has given, one nation under God. It really had an impact on me that we are called to voice that to our leaders. Quit writing checks that we can't pay, or that we're expecting generations to pay down the road that our grandkids are going to have to pay for what has happened. So I thought that was a really powerful point by Pastor Garlow, to be responsible stewards.
And I'd just like to say on that that... Once again, being a baby boomer,
no.
Our generation's responsible for raising that debt.
Yep.
I mean, we really are. And I'm getting to the point now where, you know, I'm close to retirement, although I don't see me retiring because I'm a pastor, but I'm going to live to be 100 anyway.
Amen. But amen.
But the debt is not mine, okay? I don't have to worry about the debt. Who's going to have to worry about it is Ricky and Ryan and their kids. All right. Kiara, Kamara, Samuel. Those are the ones that are going to have to worry about it. All right?
Yep.
Now, the last point is the nation of Israel. And we just had it today in page 25, in regards to supporting the nation of Israel. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. This is the word of the Lord, right? So if we curse Israel, what's going to happen to the nation who curses Israel? They're going to be cursed according to the word of the Lord. What happens to those who bless Israel? They're going to be blessed. Okay. The other thing, once again, being a history major, I'm afraid that history will repeat itself in regards to a Holocaust, okay, when 6 million Jews were killed. And once again, we need to take the biblical view. The Jews are God's chosen people, all right? Through them, salvation has come. Through the Jews, salvation has come. No matter what we may think about Israel, those are God's chosen people. And we need to support them for God's sake, not for their sake, but because they're precious to God. That's all we're going to talk about. And just keep these things in mind for the upcoming election. And there's a lot of pastors who won't do what we just did. But we're not called to be popular. We're not called to be popular. There's going to be people who love us and people who hate us. Just like with the prophets. And maybe you love me, maybe you hate me. Well, the bottom line is what God thinks. All right? I love you guys, but the bottom line is what God thinks. And I would just keep that in mind. What does God think? And forget the, you know, all the garbage in the media and all that stuff. Forget the parties. Just think about the Bible and what the Bible says. All right? Be spiritually minded.